Thank you, Melissa, for that special on the piano. We're going to let our kids slip out to worship service as they're edging to go. All right, I can tell that. Mom and Dad are edging to let them go, okay? So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just before we have the Rice family, they're going to come and sing and bless our heart here in a moment. But we're going to read our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. If you'll turn there, and if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the reading of God's Word. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 through 6. Paul says, "Therefore we have this ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not, that is, we lack courage, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God, little g, God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And all God's people said, let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard from the Gideons and the fact, dear Lord, that what we have before us is something the whole world needs. And that's the message that is in this precious book we hold in our hands. And I pray, Father, that we would, Lord, not take for granted the privilege of having a Bible with us today. And Lord, I pray that what we're about to hear through song and then the preaching of your word, Lord, that will go forth and penetrate hearts today. Now, Lord, if there's a lost one in our midst today, not sure if they died, they'd go to heaven, I pray they would give their heart to you in a prayer of belief by faith and trust. Lord, I just thank you for you saving my soul and many in this room. And we thank you, Lord, for the love and mercy that you demonstrated for the world. Now, Lord, bless in the remainder of this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. I always enjoy hearing the Rices sing, don't you? What a blessing. And I needed that message in song today. I trust you did as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Wonderful passage. I love the Apostle Paul's writings. Paul was known to write most of the New Testament as God inspired him to write. And after Paul received Christ as his Savior, we can be assured that he was not ashamed of the gospel. He let it be known that he was not ashamed to preach the message of truth. Paul, what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we find that Paul is found here in this passage. He's been accused by the Judaizers of preaching an antiquated message. That is, an old-fashioned or outdated message. Now, I've been accused of that a few times myself. And so Paul showed that the problem was not with the message or the messenger, but he showed that the problem was with the hearers who are actually headed to hell. Paul was very plain-spoken. He didn't hold back because he knew that the message he had to share needed to be told. And, of course, God had given him the command to do so. And like any preacher, the preacher cannot persuade people to believe. Only God can do that, right? Only God can do that. And today, there is a lot of preaching that's going on. But sadly, some is done in vain, as I'm sure you have figured out in some cases, that not everything that you necessarily hear on television is the gospel truth. Not everything that you hear sometimes from, you know, different ones that maybe have what they call a church, even in our community, is really
a gospel preaching church. Now, I'm not opposed to churches. We're one. But obviously, like in any community, there's going to be false teaching preachers that will rise up. And God tells us that in the last days. And there'll be those who claim to be preachers who are really not preachers, but they're advocates of the devil. And that happens today more than I think we've ever seen it happen before. Men preach about different things. Paul did a lot of preaching in his day, but his preaching, you can always be assured, centered around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it would do us well as preachers to be reminded, like Paul is reminding us here, that when we get up to preach, or when we as believers go out and we promote the gospel message that we all should be promoting, then we need to stick with preaching the sermons on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like Paul, the message every believer should preach is what I'm going to give you in a form of an outline quickly this morning. One is that when we preach or when we share our faith, the message that God has given all of us to share, which is the good news, by the way, right? The message that these guys are doing, you know, my way of doing it obviously is different than what their way of doing it and many of us. But yet we all have the same message. And that is that we need to share with others. And how do we share that? Well, we preach Christ openly. Write that down. That's one of the points that we need to make. We preach Christ openly. Now, by that I mean the open fact of sin. Now, I realize God, as we know in Scripture, does not hide the fact that we're all sinners. God made that plain, especially through many of the writings of the Apostle Paul. I love the book of Romans. When I was in college, one of the first classes I signed up for was a class on just the book of Romans. And because that was and still is one of my favorite books in the Bible, the book of Romans, because Paul laid it out there very clear. And if you go and read chapters 1 through 3, I mean, really, how in the world can you not read that and come through reading that without realizing, hey, I am a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. And it gets better as you go through and begin to read Romans. Paul stresses in Romans chapter 3, if you want to look there with me, hold your place in 2 Corinthians, but go to Romans chapter 3. And I want you to notice what Paul had to say here. If I can find it, I'm going backwards. But all right, Romans chapter 3, and look with me if you would in verse number 10. These are familiar verses, some that we've heard all of our life maybe. But Paul stressed the fact that we're sinners when he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 in that same chapter says, it says, for all have sinned and come short, that is, fall short of the glory of God. In other words, man is universally evil. Have you figured that out? That, you know, we hear things on television and I mean, it's terrible. Miss Pat was sharing with us this morning to pray for her grandson because he's in the hospital, right? Little girl, I'm sorry, thank you. But little girl's in the hospital because someone shook her, and has possible brain damage. You know, you think, well, that's evil. How could someone do things like that? And you turn on the television, you hear other things that are just as evil. You know, but when it's a child, you think, you know, that's gone too far. But why is that the case? Because man is universally evil. We're all evil in and of ourselves. And you think, well, I wouldn't do anything like that. You and I may not do anything maybe quite like that, but because of the universal fact that we are evil in nature, we're capable of doing things that we think we would never do. And that's called sin. That's where sin comes in. Paul made that case very clear in chapters 1 through 3, and he stressed, lest you think you're not a sinner. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. And so, you know, he's preached on the open fact of sin. You know, by the way, God does not hide the fact that there is a penalty of sin as well. Romans 6:23, again another familiar passage. It says, "For the wages, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, what Paul describes in this verse, there are two unavoidable absolutes that are found in verse 23 of Romans 6. Two unavoidable absolutes. What are they? First is that spiritual death is really the paycheck for every man's slavery to sin. He says, "For the wages of sin is death." In other words, that's our paycheck for sin. When you want to look at it, when you sin, what is it? Death and hell without receiving Christ. All right. Now, the second unavoidable absolute that's found in that verse, which we can all be thankful for, that is, eternal life is a free gift that God gives every undeserving sinner who believes in the Son of God, who puts their faith and trust in God. You know, we're all sinners, and we preach Christ openly, and if we're going to preach the message openly to people, as preachers should do, and as we're sharing the gospel with someone, then we have to point out that we are sinners, right? We're guilty of sin. And that's what Paul stresses here. He also preached Christ openly when he mentioned the fact that of the open need of salvation. The open need of salvation. Mankind is constantly searching for satisfaction. Now, you know, when you leave this place today, there's something going on probably physically in your bodies right now. Because at 12 o'clock, you know, I don't know why that is the case, but some reason our bodies tell us it's time to eat. I've seen that in churches as preachers. The closer 12 o'clock gets here, people start looking at their watch, and they let the preacher know kindly some way, in some way. Now, I know you don't do that intentionally, right? But your body is saying, "I need to be satisfied." All right? I'm looking for satisfaction. I want to hurry up and get out of here so I can go get that fried chicken on Sunday, you know, that sort of thing. Now, listen, I'm being a little bit silly, you might say, but really, you know, mankind is constantly searching for satisfaction. Now, there are ways that it's found. Sometimes we look for satisfaction in other people. Sometimes we look for satisfaction in possessions or pleasures of life. But every day we wake up looking to be satisfied in some way. And satisfaction, though, when it comes to that peace that passes all understanding, when it comes to that hope that we're searching for in life, that eternal hope, that can only be found and attained in the Lord Jesus Christ. And matter of fact, satisfaction, the truest sense of satisfaction, can only be found in the Lord. You see, the open need of salvation is that if you want to be saved, if you want the satisfaction of salvation, then you have to give your heart to Christ. So we preach Christ openly about the open fact of sin, about the open need of salvation, and then we preach Christ openly concerning the open door to redemption. The open door to redemption. Now, I hope you're still in Romans. If you are, go to Romans chapter 10 with me. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. Again, Paul writes here in verse 13, and he stresses something that we, maybe all of us, have practiced at least once in our life, and I hope you have, but he says in verse 13, "For whosoever..." Now, if I understand that right, I'm not an English... I'd never taught English. Matter of fact, you figured that out real quick, I'm sure, already this morning. But I did learn a few things about the book of Romans when I was being taught here. And, of course, it's just self-explanatory here. The word "whosoever" means what? Whosoever. That's anybody, right? And so, "For whosoever shall" what? "Shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, it's not just any name that we call on, right? Not just any name. But the one true God. And I emphasize that today because there are thousands of God. We heard one of our missionaries say last week, and what was it? How many millions or whatever gods? There were 30 millions of gods in one country that they worship, whatever. There are many false gods that we see, but there's only one true God. Recognizing that Jesus is Lord and the one who raised him from the dead, He is the open door for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Now, verse 13, what we find here in Romans 10:13, what it does, it emphasizes that salvation is available to how many people? To all people, whosoever, to all nations and all races. You know, we've got pretty much one race here today. There's a few different nationalities, you might say, but yet we welcome all nations and all races in this church. We do. Because when we go out these doors, we don't pick and choose who we should share the gospel with. Thank God He never did when Jesus walked the face of the earth. And that's why we know that He said, for whosoever will, that includes everybody. Now, there are sometimes people we run across that maybe rub us wrong, or sometimes people that don't look the way we look or dress the way we look or act the way we look sometimes. And in human nature has a way to get in and disrupt our love for people the way God would have us to reach them. But yet we have to look through the not our eyes but through the Lord's eyes and see people needing a Savior. There's an open door of redemption for all nations and all races. And by the way, it's only available to the ones who call on the one true God. That's what He says in that verse. It's only available to the one. You say, well, and I've had people tell me, well, preacher, I believe in the Bible. I've read it or whatever. But, you know, I worship another God. Well, you know, I hate to tell this person, you know, that if you don't know the one true God of the Bible, then you don't know God. And you know, have to be a little more blunt sometimes, and as God opens the door of opportunity to witness that, hey, the Bible's made clear that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not speaking of many gods here, but it's the one true God. Redemption is only available to the ones who call on the one true God. I'm invited sometimes as a minister to ministers that get together, and sometimes there are different denominations and backgrounds, and some preach different than way I preach, and some may not believe the Bible in the same way that I believe it or whatever. But when it comes down to it, and I always like to say this because I make it clear here, we're a Baptist church. And I'm not ashamed to announce that. I'm proud to be a Baptist. I've been a Baptist all my life. I'll die a Baptist, all right? But I will say this. It won't be just Baptists in heaven. Okay? For those of you that are true Baptists, I'm a true Baptist. Now, I like to tell folks I'm Baptist with a, what did I say? A little B. But Christian with a capital C. All right. In other words, I don't put the denomination ahead of being a Christian. Now, why are you Baptist? I've had people ask me, why are you Baptist? Because it's been proven, and I'm in with this, that down through history, Baptists have stuck closer to the truths of God's Word than any other denomination. Now, I can make points on why I'm not of another denomination based on that one reason alone, and I can prove some of that to you, hopefully convince you, but it's not about being Baptist. I tell people it's not about being Baptist. It's about have you trusted in the one true God. Because you know, I we've heard missionaries that come up here and they're going to Muslim countries, and obviously they cannot get up and preach bluntly in some cases the way I'm doing this morning. They have to be very careful in their approach, and they should be. But yet when it comes down to it, they're not ashamed to one-on-one, when they go to witness to a Muslim, to tell them of who they believe in and why they believe in the one true God, and obviously trying to win them over. Because listen, even the Muslim believe that they have the one true God. But they don't. If you don't have the one true God of the Bible, then listen, there's no open door to redemption. And then preach Christ openly, not because of the open fact of sin, but because there's the need of salvation, because there's the need of redemption, and then because of the open privilege of preaching. Look in, hold your place in Romans. Well, go while you're in Romans, go to chapter 1 with me. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 in verse 16. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians here in a moment. But Romans chapter 1 in verse 16. Now notice what Paul said here. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Christians today, and I know we live in a different day and time, we're being put in a box of sort as though that we've got a wrong message. That's what Paul was being told by the Judaizers in 2 Corinthians, that your message is antiquated, it's old-fashioned, it's outdated. You need to come up with something different, Paul. And Paul made it clear that he had the right message. The problem is with the hearers. And so Paul was not ashamed of it. Matter of fact, he let it be known here in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." By the way, should we? No. He says, he gives us the reason why he's not ashamed. He says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So Paul knows, and he knew then, that it was the message of the gospel that turned his life upside down for the good. Because Paul was on the road to Damascus one day in Acts chapter 9, and he was headed to a devil's hell, and God met him there because he was one of the most wicked men that lived in his day. Now, his name was Saul at that time. But when God saved him, that changed his life. And from that day forward, he went out. Matter of fact, the next few folks that he met, he began to share his faith with them. The gospel of what happened to him on the road to Damascus. Why? Because he had the open privilege to do so, and he took advantage of doing that. Look in Romans chapter 10 and verse 11 real quickly. Romans 10 and verse 11. It says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I accepted Christ as my Savior as an 11-year-old boy. And I'm proud of that. And I'm not ashamed of it one bit. And if you're a believer here this morning, that's what Paul is saying about you. If you're a believer, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed to share the message openly. Preach Christ openly. It's a privilege that we have, that we're given. And by the way, granted, we're losing some of our privileges in this country. We're losing some of our privileges in this country. Now, we can still come together and worship collectively as a body of believers. That may be taken away from us one day. God forbid. I hope not. But we're obviously losing some of our privileges. Our Gideon friend already mentioned this morning, Brother David, that in most schools across this country, they can't go in there and give out the Bibles anymore. What did we hear from one of our missionaries last week that... what country was it? Fiji. Went over to Fiji and... Brother Gideon, brothers, went over to Fiji and gave out... how many Bibles? Was it 200? Was it 2 million? I don't think it was 2 million. 200,000 Bibles, I believe. Kids just came running for the Bibles. We're getting ready to show you a video of going into Papua New Guinea. We want to get behind that project to go hand out Bibles there in Papua New Guinea because they can get in the schools and do so. We have a missionary down in Honduras who goes in the school and preaches in the public school there and gives out Bibles. But in America, that's been taken away from us. They put them in hotel rooms. But I'm sure now they're even having problems with some of that. Why is that? Because the devil is doing all he can to stamp the message out that we need to be preaching openly because the time is short and we're losing out on some opportunities and we need to take advantage of the opportunity that God gives us now. And so that's why Paul says, look at it as a privilege. Don't be ashamed. Matter of fact, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again and look what he said in verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." There's some kids in our public school will not receive a Bible anymore because we're told they can't have it. Some of those kids may never get a Bible. And some of those kids may never see their life changed. Now, thank God there are still local churches that give out Bibles and preach, but you know what? You know, we don't need to hide our message. We don't be ashamed of it. It's a privilege. Let's not neglect this privilege that God has given all of us, Paul says. So we preach Christ openly. We preach Christ only is the second thing this morning. Now Paul stressed there's only one gospel. Look in Galatians. Go with me to Galatians chapter 1. Just the next book over after 2 Corinthians. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul stressed there's only one gospel. Look in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into or by the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Did you get that? Paul says, there's no other gospel. There'll be some of you that are told to preach something different. But he says in verse 8, but though we are an angel, Paul says, if it were me or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He repeats that from verse 8. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So Christ is, Paul stressed here that there's no other gospel. By the way, any other gospel he's laying out here would be heresy. If someone says they've got a more improved message or more improved gospel, listen, be careful of that. And there are people out there like that. There's only one message. There's only one Bible, listen, that God has given us. There's still 66 books in your Bible, by the way. If somebody comes up with something I've got a Bible that's got 68 books. I wouldn't give a penny for that. Or want to shorten it. Listen, the Bible is God's Word. It's the foundation of our life. And Christ is the only way, Paul stressed. He's the only way. Paul, we find, was stressing here in Galatians and even in our text that we should receive no messenger, that we should receive no one who has impeccable credentials if his doctrine of salvation differs in the slightest degree from God's truth as revealed through Christ and the apostles. He goes on even to say, let him be accursed. Paul says, if I even came in here, referring to himself, he says, if I even came in here and I started sharing with you another gospel, or some angel came and started sharing with you another gospel, God says, then I should be accursed, Paul says. Because he was making the fact that there's no other gospel but one. So if Christ is the only way, then why should we preach anything else? Right? Why should we listen to anything else or give even one iota of attention to it? So if Christ is the only way, then we must know that the preaching of anything else is not empowered of the Holy Spirit. So when sometimes we tune in to somebody that's preaching something that's totally contrary to the Word of God or whatever, then God says, don't give attention to that. That doesn't even have the power of the Holy Spirit on it, Paul is stressing. You see, preaching Christ only is important because He is the only truth. And then I'll give you the third and final point. When preaching Jesus, not only should we preach Christ openly and preach Christ only, but we need to preach Christ obediently. Obediently. Now, we've been given our commission in Matthew 28 as believers. It's wrapped up in one word. It's called go. Now, I won't read Matthew 28, 19 and 20. You can go back and read it. But there's one word that stands out in there that gives us our commission as believers of what we're to do. And really, it's worded in a form of a command. That word go in the Greek, in the original Greek understanding, it's a commandment that God gives all of us, not just preachers or missionaries, but believers. And He says, go. We've been using that as part of our theme this past month. And that word go is a commission that God gives to every believer. And that is to share the message that we should not be ashamed of, that we should be privileged to share with others. We preach Christ obediently. Now, by the way, if we are willing to go for Christ, we do that because of our love for Him, don't we? You know, I could ask you to do things as your pastor or preacher, and you might do it because of that reason. But really, when you do things for the Lord, it ought to be because this is my way of showing God I love Him. And one of the greatest ways that we can show God that we love Him is to preach Christ openly, not to be ashamed of the fact of who Jesus is in our life. Not to be ashamed to take a stand for Christ when He gives us the opportunity to do so. When we preach Christ obediently, we do it because of our love for His church. Thank God for our local church here. Now, granted, I'd love to see it filled up with people today, as every church pastor would love to see their congregation filled to capacity. But I'm sure that many of you are here today not because of the preacher or any other aspect of the church. You're here because you love Christ. You love your church. And that's part of the reason why we're here. We preach Christ obediently. We realize that, hey, part of being obedient in this preaching of Christ, we need to practice what we preach. So if we share the message of the gospel with someone, one of the first things we do after we share our faith is encourage them to get in a good Bible-believing church and serve the Lord and fall in love with that church and get behind the pastor and the church and undergird that church and the community and around the world, so this message will not just go forth here, but as we've seen, around the world. And then we preach Christ obediently because of our love for the lost. You know, all of us have family members that maybe that we want to see come into the kingdom of God, don't we? We all have friends that we work with. Brother Shelby was sharing with me of a dear friend of his that went on to be with the Lord this past week. A motorcycle buddy of his. And they would literally ride up to Kentucky to go eat pork chops together, along with a few other guys. Bill is his name, is that right? Bill has visited this church a few times over the years. Bill died of leukemia, I believe it was. But, you know, for a while there, they didn't really know whether Bill knew the Lord. Been trying to be a witness to him, and he's visited this church a few times. One day, Bill decided he's going to stop by, as he's done on a few occasions, to the Dickey's home. And he stopped by, and he says, "Hey, I've got something I want to tell you. You're going to like this. I got something I want to tell you." He said, "I got saved." He got saved. Now, I don't know. How long back was that about? 5 years ago. Bill stopped by and says, "I got saved." They just found out through researching some of this that it was an 80-year-old man that led him to the Lord. Oh, okay. He was in the late 80s when he's a little over 90 now. But aren't you thankful for that 90-year-old man who's still preaching Christ openly? Who preaches Christ, and he preached Christ only because He's the only way. And he was obedient to do so. Because I dare say Bill may not be in heaven today were it not for that 90-year-old gentleman to be faithful to do that. I don't know about you, but that motivates me. When I heard that story, and they shared that with me more, that just confirmed the fact that, listen, what we're doing for Christ every day, when we share our faith with our loved ones and our friends, we just never know how God may use that to reach somebody who needs Jesus so that they can have the opportunity to go to heaven. So as believers, I want to close with this thought. Let's follow the example given by the Apostle Paul. Let's be willing to preach Jesus. Let's take our stand among our family and our neighbors and our neighborhood and in our workplaces and young people in your schools. And wherever God gives us the opportunity, and He will, He'll open some doors in the grocery store, in the doctor's office. It's just amazing sometimes where if you look for those opportunities, they'll fall right in your lap. And God will give us opportunities to preach Jesus. No other name like Jesus, right? Let's preach Jesus and look at it as a privilege to share our faith. Let's stand this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around, but we always like to have an invitation in our service. This is the way we conclude here. We conclude with an opportunity to give you, if you're here this morning, an opportunity, if you want to come to this altar to pray, you're welcome to do so. Whatever's on your heart, to lay it out on the altar before the Lord. Or if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, many in this room have. But you may be here and you're not sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. We would love to give you an opportunity to trust Christ by allowing us to show you how you can know the Lord before you leave. And if you'd like to come forward on this invitation as we sing here in a moment and speak to me, we'll have counselors, man with a man, woman with a woman, that can counsel with you and pray with you and help you in that way. Or if you're here and you're looking for a church home and you feel like this is where God would have me to join, be a part of it, and get active, or you need to be baptized, we ask you to do what God lays on your heart to do. But let's pray, and then after we pray, Miss Jeannie's going to sing our song of invitation. If you feel led to come this morning, you do as God leads you. Father, we commit this invitation over to you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach what I believe you laid on my heart to preach today. And Lord, help us to be bold in our stand for you. And Lord, to take advantage of the opportunity that we have now to share our faith as believers with others. And Lord, if there is that one today that's under the sound of my voice, does not know you as Savior, they'll not leave here today before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With